This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. You're listening to The Showrunner, a podcast about podcasting that will teach you how to take your show from good to great. Ready? John, I don't know if you know this, but something very exciting is happening today, Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. Do you know what that is?
I have no idea.
You and I are meeting in person for the very first time. And I know that sounds weird for me to say on Wednesday, May 6th, when we record this, but... For when people listen to this, it will be May 13th. We will both be in Denver at Authority Rainmaker, and we will be meeting for the very first time, which is very exciting.
Could we also like sit down somewhere and listen to this episode back together?
We've been doing so much meta stuff, I feel like we should. And then maybe record us listening to the recording. I don't know.
It's like when you put two mirrors together and it just goes for, yeah, we'll have to do that.
Hey, you know what I was thinking earlier? What if we meet and we don't like each other? Like, we've committed to, like, do this course, and we've got this podcast going, but, like, what if there's just no, like, in-person chemistry? What are we going to do?
Whoa. I guess it's over. That's it.
Yeah. Refunds to everybody. Feed redirected. All right. So, folks, if there's no episode next Wednesday, or if this one cuts off abruptly right now, then you'll know something went wrong in Denver. But I have a feeling things will be quite all right.
I think so too.
And I'm really looking forward to being there in Denver, because it won't just be us meeting. We're actually going to get to meet some of the people in the course, which will be really fun. I know Sonia Thompson, who is part of the Showrunner podcasting course, you know, is already kind of getting all the people who are going to be there together so we can all hang out and have our, you know, a little Showrunner meetup. So that's the best part about these events, is just getting to meet people in person that you've only known online. Some people you've worked with extensively, like you and me, and getting to meet in person. So in addition to everything else, that'll be great about the event.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for like the event itself, just to actually go, but then to meet, yeah, so many people that I've never met. I've never met anyone who's actually been there, I don't think, who's going to be there or who is there. Where are we? We're now? It's happening right now, isn't it?
It's happening right now today,
we're,
yes.
We're at the conference.
You're meeting people right now. As people are listening to this, you're meeting Robert Bruce for the first time, which will change your life.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It will be pretty cool. Very, very cool. So looking forward to it. And yeah, so that's that. Let's move on to our topic for today's episode of The Showrunner. We're not just going to spend all of our time previewing Authority Rainmaker. We also want to talk about something specific to podcasting. And we're going to do something similar to what we did last week, John. And last week, we shared an interview that we did about interviewing. That's actually from the course. We shared a really significant chunk of it because I thought it was very useful. And we're going to do the same thing today, because you and I just recently did an interview about sponsorships, where you shared a lot of your experience getting your sponsorship set up with FreshBooks. And so we're going to share a portion of that interview right now. Anything that you want to preface this snippet with? I know you don't know exactly what the snippet is, but just in terms of the general idea of sponsorships and your experience with them.
I guess it's to take a sponsorship, especially when you're starting out, as get it away from the typical CPM or cost per thousand that was originally talked about in podcast sponsorships. And when you're starting out, make it into a package sort of deal. So think of anything you can offer a sponsor, as in links on your site, mentions on social media, mentions anywhere else that you might be able to have some sort of voice, and to be creative and just really try and make a partnership out of the sponsorship. I think that's really the essence of what we got to in this interview. And it's kind of how I've had the success with my sponsorships up till now.
Yeah, and you've had a lot of success with it. And this is one of the most common questions that we get, you know, how do I make money from my podcast? How do I make my podcast profitable in a direct sense where it's making money? And the idea of getting a sponsorship is difficult for some folks. And so I think what this interview really did is just it illuminated how it all came together for you. And you were very open and candid about it, down to some specifics. And so I think people will really enjoy this. So here is my interview with you, John, about sponsorships and specifically your experience getting FreshBooks to sponsor Hack the Entrepreneur. Let's start talking about that, John. And before we get into the how, in terms of how you set it up and what to do, let's talk about the why. And why did you choose a sponsorship model for Hack the Entrepreneur, even all the way back from the beginning, to monetize it?
So it wasn't from the beginning. It was like, it was close. It was 6 weeks. It was the weekend leading into the 7th week after I went live. And it was literally that weekend I was thinking, my show had grown, my audience had grown. I was getting lots of good feedback. My audience was responsive. They were good. And I needed help. So therefore, I needed revenue to be able to hire an assistant and an editor. So that weekend, I decided that on Monday, I was going to reach out and try and find myself a sponsor. I opened up my laptop Monday morning, and there was 4 offers from companies wanting to sponsor. Because at that point, I was number one in business. I was number one in management and marketing. I was number one in new and noteworthy of each. It was kind of like, whoa, who's this guy, right? We want to sponsor him. He has no sponsors. That's weird.
So these offers came unsolicited?
Completely unsolicited. I never emailed anybody for anything at this point.
Did you have anything on your site like contact me for sponsorship or anything?
No, I had a contact form, which it just literally came through my contact form.
Okay.
I thought it was too early, honestly. I thought on September 5th when I launched, I thought it would take me 6 months before I would be able to go to sponsorship model. The whole thing really grew quicker. But I knew that my audience was ready at that point. And so the offers came. I negotiated with 2 companies. One of them was FreshBooks, who is from the same country, same province. They're a great company that I use. So it really made sense to me. And at the time, I didn't want to go with a different sponsor each episode. I wanted month at a time. Actually, I said 3 months at a time. And I want to have their banner on my site. I want to put links in each show notes. And I want to be able to just have one company that I talk about. And that was the offer that we made. And it worked.
So with FreshBooks then, so you had used them previously. When you say you used the product, okay, so you'd already used them. So take us behind the scenes a little bit, I guess, with how that came about and how it evolved once you decided they were who you wanted to go with.
It was really, really quick. They wanted to take advantage of the momentum I had, and I wanted to. So it literally, between talking to them that Monday, I believe Thursday I had a signed contract, and on my Friday episode, there was a FreshBooks ad. And they signed on for 3 months at the very beginning, and then at month 2, they signed on for another 3 months, and now they've signed on till the end of June at this point, which is another 3 months. It's just how they kind of went for it. And it really was, the idea with them was they were dealing with a company before that was doing all their advertising for them. They decided to pull that out of a company because the company took a good percentage and they wanted to go direct. So they started dealing with me. They told me numbers of what people were getting based on their downloads. I discussed with them how I'm very new. My downloads are growing fast, but they're still relatively low, and they understood that. So I took it away from CPM, which is cost per thousand, which is how the general sort of sponsorship plan sort of goes. And I took it into a package deal because I knew I couldn't make any money on a CPM per basis. And because at 3 months after where we were today, it would be so much bigger. So I didn't want to sign on at that point. So I created a whole package deal, which was several thousand dollars a month. And it included, as I said, the banner ad, the in the show notes, a link that will always stay there. So as my show grows, actually, I said it'll always stay there for at least a year because I didn't want to be tied in, and I don't have plans to take them out of there, those links. But if something happens with my show, I move it somewhere else or do anything, I don't want to be locked down that I have to keep always advertising them forever. So I did it for a year. And I just made the whole, I told them what my traffic was to my site, how it was growing, and I showed them the downloads, how they were growing. And then I really pushed the engagement of my audience, because I think that that was super, super valuable to them. There are shows with way bigger audiences that don't have the engagement that I had worked on building by responding to everybody, by asking everybody to email me, by asking, ask your questions. Just literally, it'll come to my phone and I will answer you immediately if I can. I just want to help you. I did. That's what I'm trying to do. So that really, really, really helped. And then I worked with them, with their copywriters, and we came up with ways for me to actually speak out and say the ads to make them more engaging.
So you hit on something really important there, and I want to focus on this, which is that you stressed the engagement of your audience. And so a lot of you who are in here starting shows right now, you know, you're not going to have shows with the audience of a This American Life and with a Serial. Neither do we. But what we do have, what we can create, are smaller but really engaged audiences. So you say you stressed it. What was there anything quantifiable that you needed to show them so that they would get it? Like, how did they understand that even though the numbers are small, there's a really high level of engagement that would hopefully lead to more conversions and more people taking action when you talked about FreshBooks?
No, there was nothing tangible I could give them. But I knew that I wasn't lying. And what I did and what I've seen other people do is they push for maybe too much money at the beginning, and because they just think, oh, I can make this big score. And it's business. This is a business you're trying to create. So think long term. Don't think short term, quick grab. And some people get a sponsorship for a week that pays really, really, really well, and the company will never sign on again because they have to make their money. And if I say my audience is engaged, which I've said this in the course, that you don't go for sponsorships until your audience exists. Focus on your audience first. But I knew my audience was there, and I knew that if with the right product that they would do well. So when I made the deal that long term, I knew that what they paid me for the first 3 months, they would make more than that money back. They would get the return on investment. This is business. They have to make money and I have to make money. But I didn't try and price it so that they're going to be like, oh, this guy totally like lied. He said he had this engagement. He said he had this audience, and we made a deal with them, and he totally just lied to us. That's not a good way to do business in any way at all. And so sponsorship is just a big part of that's your potentially your first revenue as a podcast. So it's important to price things that are fair, price things that are real. And if you say things, don't lie, make it true. And there has to be in the negotiation, obviously they got to trust you to a certain degree and you got to trust them. It's just how it is. But if you've done, or if you do what you say you're going to do, or you get your audience to do what you say that they will do, or that you feel that they will do, it will work and they will stay on. And to me, it's amazing that I'm going to have this sponsorship that'll probably go on for a year or more. And that's really, really cool, because it's a lot of work to go out there and make these new, to make these new deals, especially. I would think it would be really hard. Now it's easier for me because people do still approach me and I'm like, no, I'm locked in. I don't want to do anything else right now. But people see that FreshBooks has been sponsoring me for what, 6 months, 8 months now. People are like, wow, they're obviously getting their money's worth. But if you see these shows that, wow, they have a different sponsor every two episodes or every second week, why is that? And they go from like having one hosting company sponsor them to the next one, to the next one. It's like, why do you think if it was worth it, why wouldn't that hosting company? And then people just all of a sudden stop sponsoring that show because it's obvious they're not getting the return on investment. My next sponsor that I take on, I think will pay me three or four times what FreshBooks does because they know that the engagement's there. They know why this company is paying me repeatedly because it's a good deal. We have a great partnership and it's a good way to think about it as it's a partnership.
There's the word right there. And that's what I had just started thinking about as you were talking, is it really sounds more like a partnership than a sponsorship, what you're describing. It seems like That's how you thought about it the whole way, which is why it's worked out like it has.
I don't think you should think about anything really in business that you're trying to do, right? I mean, this course in itself is a partnership with me and you and Copyblogger. Mm-hmm. It's not like one of us trying to take from the other one. It's like, no, we're a partnership to make something bigger than either of us could have made individually. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's what we tried to do. FreshBooks couldn't have access to this audience without me. I couldn't have access to their resources without you know, without each other. It's just, it's a great way to think about it. And long term, it works. And now I can focus on podcasting, and I know I have this steady stream of income coming in.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I want to talk real quick, too, about structure, because you talked a little bit about that with FreshBooks. And a lot of people think CPM. You know, that's been a very popular model on the web. You know, a banner advertisement, you get whatever, $3 per thousand impressions, whatever it is. And so I think people sometimes get locked into thinking that's what the sponsorship will be. But you thought creatively about this, and you gave FreshBooks other stuff besides just the listener, the quote-unquote impression, the link. Was there anything else added to kind of the package that you gave FreshBooks beyond that?
No, I think that was it. And I guess pushing the whole partnership, whole fact that I'm not going to go look for three other sponsors at the same time so that I can't. So literally when I'm on an interview talking about FreshBooks with you, and I've been on many interviews, people asking how I got sponsorship so quickly, and who do we talk about? We talk about FreshBooks because they're my partner. That, to me, that's pretty valuable, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And they know that. And anytime anybody else has come to me, that's kind of like, yes, okay, when it's time, maybe we can have a partnership. But for now, I have a partnership with FreshBooks. It makes it more and more and more valuable.
Yeah, it's, I know.
It's funny, right? But it's true. And I didn't try and grab the cash up front. It's just I really tried to make it a long term, and it's going to make it grow. It's business. You have to think long term.
Yeah. Module 9, Lesson 2, sponsored by FreshBooks here. I mean, it basically is, right?
It is. And I didn't even tell you to do that. You just, because it's a great sponsorship and it works really well and it fits the brand, it fits the audience.
Yeah. So, for the record, this lesson is not officially sponsored by FreshBooks.
They have no idea that this is happening.
Right. This is just us talking. Okay, so let's move on now to our listener question. And our listener question this week is sponsored by the Rainmaker platform. And John, let me bring you in here real quick. I know you started Hack the Entrepreneur not on the Rainmaker platform. You have since changed over to the Rainmaker platform. Is there maybe one or two things you can identify that being on the Rainmaker platform has really helped you do that has moved Hack the Entrepreneur further along?
It's allowed me to get my assistant to do my show notes for me now, which is really cool. She couldn't seem to figure that out within the basic WordPress setup that I had before. And I've been A/B testing landing pages since I started writing for entrepreneur.com now. And I'm sending people and I'm split testing it like right in the Rainmaker platform, and it's amazing.
Wow, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's funny, you know, the A and B split testing is actually kind of an overlooked feature that's really, really cool, but I feel like not enough people have talked about it. So that's cool that you mentioned that. So it's a really neat feature. Very nice, very nice. And for anybody who is interested in the Rainmaker platform, go to rainmakerplatform.com. You can see everything that it includes, and if you want to see if it's right for you, you can take a 14-day free trial. So take it for a spin, see if it works, and it may just be the solution to help you build your online marketing and sales platform. And speaking of which, we're going to get to that here in a minute on this listener question, which is a two-part question, which was sent to us via Twitter by Dare Allen. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, but Daree Allen. And the question is how to create a great podcast branding graphic and how to choose a station. And each one of these questions carries its own ambiguity, which is, I suppose, just inherent about in taking questions from Twitter with the limited character amount. But we're going to try and tackle these based on how we understand them. John, if you want to take that first one about creating a great podcast branding graphic.
All right, I'm going to take a branding graphic as being show artwork for iTunes. And so, I mean, we go through this completely in the course. And sorry, man. Somebody wanted me to mention that I have a cold.
We're leaving this in. I refuse to edit that out.
Okay, I think it's allergies now, but somebody mentioned this in the course today.
Mm-hmm, they did. Maybe we'll do that as next week's listener question. We'll talk about how to deal with having a cold.
Yeah.
Based on what we learned from this moment right here.
I've been battling it for a couple of months, and so...
And you have kind of a secret to dealing with it, right? We can tease that? Okay, we're going to tease that for next week. John's secret to dealing with colds that he apparently forgot for this episode. Okay, John, keep going.
So I'm going to take the graphic as the iTunes graphic. And so the biggest thing, I guess, I can't get into all of it, but the biggest thing really is to understand your market. Your market is iTunes, because that's going to push 90% or more of the listeners that find you. So go into iTunes, go exactly to the category specifically that you are going to be entering, and study and analyze the top 20, the top 50, and then the top 100 of those podcast artworks. And you have to look for, obviously, the top ones, see what they do in comparison to the ones who are number 100, see what the differences are, see what you can pick out there, and then go back to the top 20 and figure out what it is, colors, texts, whether your face should be on it or not, and look to see how you can stand out within that exact specific marketplace. If you're entering the comedy market space, it's no point to you studying the business marketplace and seeing what works there. Go directly to your specific category, see what exists out there, and see how you can fit in a unique way and stand out visually, because over 50% of these people on iTunes now are going through on their phone, which means they're swiping by really quickly, and your artwork has to grab that audience that you are looking for.
Yep, and then the next part of the question, how to choose a station. And part of what throws us off there is the examples that are used, which are Rainmaker and Blog Talk Radio, which seem extremely different. And so, you know, when it comes to station, I would say first choose a platform. And Rainmaker, obviously, as we just mentioned, is a way to build your own platform. So this is where you're going to house your files. This is where you're going to direct your audience to go. This is your home on the web. And then you have different distribution channels, like in iTunes, like other places, where you are getting your content out there to the audience. But I think the first question is choose a platform. And there it's just, you know, whatever your goals are, which one fits best, try out different ones. We're obviously partial to Rainmaker, and it has a lot of features that work really well for podcasters. And then, you know, in terms of distribution, look, Blog Talk Radio, when I started the Assembly Call, I started it on Blog Talk Radio, because for a low-cost way to host a call-in show, a live call-in show, it worked really well. But I was basically just using it to record the audio, downloading the audio, and putting it on my own site. So Blog Talk Radio does have a network of people, and there are listeners there, that kind of thing. But we never got very many listeners from Blog Talk. Now, maybe that's changed, and we probably didn't use it right, but the focus was on building the platform. And I think if you are podcasting for any significant big picture goal, especially if it's anything, you know, related to building a business or building your personal brand, that kind of thing, I think you want to build your own platform, not just rely on a place like Blog Talk to host everything and do everything for you, because you don't own that. You don't want to build on rented land, as we've said often at CopyBlogger. That's digital sharecropping. You want to build on land that you own. You know, if we somehow misunderstood those questions, just tweet us with a little bit more context. But that is how we would answer those. And let's move now, John, into our podcast recommendations, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite things to do on this show. Would you like to go first and give your podcast recommendation this week?
I would love to. My first recommendation was published on March 5th of this year. So it's just about a month old. It's the Rocket Ship Podcast. And on March 5th, they don't do numbers for their episodes in iTunes, so you have to go by the date. But the title is How to Build Your Content Strategy, and they're a great show that I've gotten to know. I was on it months and months ago, and that's how I discovered it. And they're a team of three, and they do interviews, and it's interesting to kind of hear them play off of each other, and the conversations go in interesting places. They're very much into the startup business sort of world. But in this How to Build Your Content Strategy on March 5th, they interviewed Neil Patel of Kissmetrics and such. And the guy's a genius with content. So I was drawn to it. And it's, yeah, that's my recommendation for this week.
Very cool. And to clarify, March 5th is 2 months ago, based on when this airs. Not 1 month
ago. To clarify, I don't even know what the date is.
And for my recommendation, and I didn't even realize this, but there's an Authority Rainmaker tie-in with my recommendation. It is PNR This Old Marketing with Joe Polizzi and Robert Rose. Joe Polizzi of Content Marketing World, the Content Marketing Institute, who will actually be speaking at Authority Rainmaker, which is kind of cool. And what I want to recommend about this show, it's obviously great content marketing information. If you want to stay up to date on news and the big issues in content marketing, it's a must listen. But my favorite part are the intros that Robert Rose does. And they're clearly scripted, but his delivery is very solid. And they always include just this clever wordplay and these relevant pop culture references and usually some kind of self-deprecating joke or two. And a lot of times it ends with Polizzi kind of giggling in the background, which is always funny. And I actually tweeted to them that if the show ever goes away, they should just release a podcast called The Intro Show with Rose just doing intros for like a podcast that doesn't even exist. Because they're really, really entertaining the way that he puts them together. So if you've never listened to an episode of PNR This Old Marketing, highly recommend it. There's not really a particular one to recommend because Robert Rose does this for all of them. So I just highly recommend that you take a listen. It's a really good show. And John, if you've never gotten a chance to meet Joe Polizzi, you will get to meet him at Authority Rainmaker. You might be meeting him right now.
Wow.
This very moment. I know. Kind of crazy, huh? Kind of crazy. Well, that is, unless you have anything else to add, John, that's all we have for this episode of The Showrunner.
I'm still shocked that March 5th was 2 months ago, actually. To tell you the truth, I'm still shocked by that.
Why don't you go get your bearings while I close this out, and then we'll record another one. All right. I do just want to say thank you to you, listener, for being a showrunner listener. We appreciate it. And, you know, we really hope that you're finding value in these episodes that you can incorporate into your own shows, because that's the goal. And obviously a little bit of entertainment, maybe a little bit of inspiration here and there too. That's what we're here for. And if you are, we'd really love it if you'd leave us a rating or a review on iTunes. We've gotten so many of these already. Every time we do, it is exciting and lifts our spirits and reminds us of why we're doing this show, because it is for you all. And if you could do it while leaving your Twitter handle or some other means so we can actually reach out, contact you, say thank you, we would definitely appreciate that too, because we certainly don't take the effort that you take to leave them for granted. And plus, it's a great way to pay it forward, because the more ratings and reviews that you leave now for shows you like, the more comfortable you'll feel requesting ratings and reviews later on when they can have a big impact for you. So hopefully you will consider doing that. All right, thank you for listening. Good luck with any and all shows you are running this week, and we will talk to you next Wednesday on another new episode of The Showrunner.